So, a very good morning, excellencies, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to our interview this week. Let me introduce myself. I'm Tunlin Hazapadat, will be the moderator for today's interview. And this week we will discuss on the topic regarding to the current trending, Russia's possibility in using the tactical nuclear weapon in the war with Ukraine. And for today's, we are very honored to have Professor Dr. Desmond Molloy as the independent political and conflict analyst and the professor at the Banyasa University as our guest speaker for today's discussion. So, greeting, Professor, and welcome to
Hello.
our interview program.
Good morning. Thank you.
Yes. Without further delay, I would like to kick off our discussion. So, Professor, in September last month, in a speech of President Vladimir Putin of Russia, raised that he would consider all available means to defend Russian territory and alluded to the United States setting a precedent of using atomic bombs and. So, based on the current situation, what do you think that leads Putin to consider such decision of using a nuclear threat over the war with Ukraine? And what is the possibility that Russia will use nuclear weapons in the war with Ukraine?
Well, the fact that Vladimir Putin mentioned the possible use of nuclear devices demonstrates how things have escalated from his original position in that this was a special military operation. And probably the mention of US nuclear bombs in Nagasaki and Hiroshima is somewhat ironic when you realize that the part of the reason for the use of those bombs in Japan was to counter the arrival of Russian troops down from the north of Japan, from Sakhalin, to prevent them from moving into Hokkaido. But in reality, things have not been going Vladimir Putin's way. And bringing the nuclear threat to the fore is something of an indication of his desperation. And we've probably seen an increase in that desperation after the attack on the Kerch Bridge over late last week and the massive missile attacks on cities in Ukraine over the weekend, an act of rage and an act of desperation. The nuclear threat is the highest it has been since 1996, 62, excuse me, I'm talking about the Cuban Missile Crisis, which I remember as a 5-year-old in Dublin, in Ireland, hiding under my bed and refusing to go to school because I thought Russian missiles were coming in to destroy my city. I do think what he's talking about is the possible use of tactical nuclear weapons, which are battlefield nuclear weapons. I think that once a nuclear device is used, the game is changed. We have heard from some of the American analysts, particularly from former Defense Department analysts, that should a battlefield nuclear device be used against Ukrainian troop formations, it would be countered by conventional attacks against Russians, with NATO taking active parts, which would destroy all Russian troops in Ukraine and all Russian fleet in the Black Sea. Now, if we look at the response to the attack on the Kursk Bridge over the weekend, we can imagine that such a counterattack against Russian troops or the Russian Black Sea fleet would not go without rage and desperation from Vladimir Putin, and that would not escalate to the potential for strategic nuclear weapons. Now, do I believe that this is a possibility? If we take from a rational perspective, and the problem is that we don't know how rational Vladimir Putin is at the moment, to introduce even tactical nuclear weapons to the war at this stage to create the possibility of escalation to mutually assured destruction, too mad. People are not talking about MAD now, about mutually assured destruction. And I haven't worked out why they're not talking about it, because it has not gone away. And if things escalate to the use of strategic nuclear weapons, we're looking at global nuclear night, and we're looking at mutually assured destruction, not only for the parties to the conflict, but to all of us, including here in Cambodia, as we would see nuclear night hit the world, and we would see the end of photosynthesis and food production at the very worst. So do I think that it's in Russia's interests to open the game with the use of nuclear device? I think it would be a very crazy move, because once that ball starts to move, there is no way to know how far it will escalate. It will certainly lead to a chain reaction, escalating violence should one nuclear weapon be used. It is this total belief by leaders, by John F. Kennedy in particular, that mutually assured destruction was inevitable should nuclear devices be used, that ended the crisis in the Cuban Missile Crisis. That situation is worse now in that the warheads are bigger, the damage that would be done is bigger. So that has not changed other than worst possible outcomes. So I think that it's unlikely that tactical nuclear weapons will be used in Ukraine. I do think we will see, we know that Russia is not averse to mass destruction of civilian targets, as we saw in Aleppo, in Syria, as we saw in Grozny, in Chechnya, as we are seeing by the reaction over the weekend with the mass use of missiles against cities in Ukraine. But I am hopeful that the odds, even though the crisis and the risk is higher than it has been since 62, I don't expect to see nuclear devices being used at the moment.
So thank you very much, Professor, for the clear introduction to the possibility of Russia inducing tactical nuclear weapons. And Professor, I do completely agree with you that this is a crazy move for Russia if Vladimir Putin really decide to fall in the nuclear device. Using nuclear device or nuclear weapon in the Ukraine war. And you did mention that if the tactical nuclear weapon really fall into the war, it will change. So how will it affect the war in Ukraine?
Tactical nuclear weapon would be used against the formation of troops. Now, the Ukrainian army is able to take precautions against the use of tactical nuclear weapons by the manner in which they deploy and disperse their troops and the depth of their troop formations, also the use of geography, of topography, and also consideration of meteorology. You know, if the wind is blowing the wrong way, the nuclear plume can also blow towards Russia. So the use of tactical nuclear weapons at the short range close to the Russian border poses threats also for Russia. And of course, it also poses direct threats to the other countries in the vicinity, including Belarus, Poland, and other countries bordering Ukraine, because nobody knows where the wind is going to take the nuclear plume carrying radioactive dust for hundreds of kilometers. Precautions can be taken, but that doesn't change the international implications of the first use of a nuclear device. I think it would bring NATO directly into the fray. I think that the regional partners of Russia, the global partners of Russia, would be forced to take a step back. We saw where Xi Jinping at the Shanghai Cooperation meeting 2 weeks ago expressed concern and some reservations about Russian actions. We saw Mr. Modi say that this was not the time for war. So Russia could expect to lose friends if it were to bring the equation of thermonuclear devices into the conflict. As far as Ukraine is concerned, I don't believe the threat of thermonuclear devices changes their strategic objectives. It will change the way that they deploy their troops, as I've said, in that there would be broader dispersion, there would be armor spread broadly in order not to create concentrated targets, and troops would be prepared for protection in the event of a near nuclear device. There are some ways that troops advancing can protect themselves, as I've said, through dispersion and through the depth of the military formations. However, the devastation would be terrific if a tactical nuclear device is used, but it would have major implications. It's a game changer for the war. It's a game changer for Russian allies, or if close to allies, as we might say. I think it will not change the drive and the enthusiasm with which Ukraine is advancing into Donbass at the moment. I think it will not slow them down, but it will certainly impact how the formation of troops are just in the event that such a thing should happen.
So, thank you, Professor. In the late of September, we also see that President Vladimir Putin brought on the referendum on the four areas of the Ukraine. And this is the add-on way to the nuclear threat. So how has the Ukraine reacted to this nuclear threat from Russia? And do you think that what should be the next approach or next means for Ukraine in this war?
Well, I think the annexation of the four provinces is for domestic consumption in Russia. You know, I could say facetiously that it's about as relevant if Vladimir Putin annexed Manhattan or Kampong Spu. You know, certainly in international law, it's about as relevant as that. I realize that there are Russian speakers, there are pro-Russian population in some areas of these provinces. And that was the expressed purpose of Putin invading Ukraine in the first place. I believe that we have seen a doubling of effort of Ukraine. We have seen that the draft that Putin launched, rather abortively almost, has not increased the enthusiasm of his army or improved the quality of the leadership within the army. We've seen that he has lost four senior leaders in the last 3 months. And he has a new guy, the commander of the Air Force, in command of a unitary command of forces in Ukraine for the first time. But the fact is they don't have the command, control and communications capacity that a military should have. This was a great shock to NATO intelligence when they saw how poorly the Russians could operate at a strategic level in relation to command, control and communications. And that has not improved no matter how many conscripts they throw into the equation. From Ukraine's perspective, they have their tails up at the moment. They are demonstrating their capacity to take back ground, and they have strategic objectives in defending their own territory, while Russia is in the process of implementing a war of aggression against a neighbor, contrary to international law. Now, many of the youth who are conscripted and many of the ethnic minorities that are aggrieved at being disproportionately targeted for drafting are not happy to be fighting in Ukraine. So you have two different morale positions. I believe that for probably the first time we can say that you can see Ukraine pushing Russia back to certainly their 2014 borders and perhaps beyond. Now, the annexation of the four provinces for domestic purposes is in order to give justification for Vladimir Putin to claim that Russia is being invaded, should the Ukrainian troops push far enough into Crimea, into Donbass, into the bridging areas around Mariupol. But from an international perspective, it doesn't wash. The annexation, the referendums were a scam, and it doesn't carry any water in international law. And Ukraine is not. We see through President Zelensky and through the efforts of the Ukrainian commanders, they are not daunted by these actions by Vladimir Putin.
So, yes, Professor, at the same time, the international community, especially the United States and the European allies country, has been at the edge of the this nuclear threat that Vladimir Putin has been pushing out, especially with Ukraine, who is pushing back against Russia too in the war. So how have those countries, especially the United States, responded to this threat? And will there be any possibility of a preemptive strike if Russia keep its regular threat on nuclear weapon?
Well, a threat is one thing. I don't believe that NATO or the West, either the Europe or when we're talking about NATO, we're talking about the United States, Britain, and France as nuclear armed members of NATO. So I don't believe any of those three countries would engage in a preemptive strike in the defense of Ukraine. I believe also that in the event of the use of a tactical weapon by the Russians in Ukraine, that the initial response would be with conventional weapons. But I do believe it would bring NATO and the European Union into the war. That is the major change. But I don't expect, well, firstly, I've already told you, I don't expect the use of nuclear weapons. And I certainly do not expect a preemptive strike from the West.
Yes, thank you, Professor. We've been talking a lot on the Ukraine, Russia, and earlier the United States perception on the this nuclear threat. So regarding to the Russia allies, including China and North Korea as well. So do you see any respond from China on this event?
Well, you know, I think that Xi Jinping certainly doesn't want to have to deal with an issue like this as he goes into the Communist Party Congress and as he heads for his third term as the chairman of the Congress. You mentioned North Korea. Of course, God knows what Kim Jong-un will do. Already he is very aggrieved at the attention he's not getting because of Ukraine and is launching longer range missiles over Japanese territory as he did in the last week. So when we talk about what the biggest nuclear threat is, in my own opinion, I would see Vladimir Putin usually as more of a rational actor, and he wouldn't see any major advantage in using a nuclear weapon. However, I don't know about North Korea, where Kim Jong-un is certainly chomping at the bit for attention at the moment and concerned that he's out of focus at the moment because of the Ukrainian war. So that's probably a bigger threat than Vladimir Putin at the moment that nobody is really talking about. But that's my own personal opinion.
Yes, thank you. One more thing that as I observe from the international analysts on this trending on the tactical nuclear weapon of Russia, they raised that because Vladimir Putin is seeing Russia is losing the war. So that is the reason why they are Putin stressed on the using tactical weapon to give a threat to Ukraine. So from your point of view, do you agree on this?
I think that Vladimir Putin is beginning to act in rage and desperation. I think we saw this over the last weekend with the major launch of more than 75 missiles into cities of Ukraine. I think that he knows that the use of a nuclear weapon at this time is a game changer, and that while he might be on the losing end of the war at the moment, to bring this to, if strategic nuclear weapons are to be used, we will lose the world, not the war. We will lose everything. Mutually assured destruction is not gone away, even if we're not talking about it. And that's something I'm harping on about at various conferences and workshops, that we are in a situation where we're not emphasizing the reality and the existence of mutually assured destruction at the moment. I think that's not lost on Vladimir Putin, that should this situation get out of control and the use of a tactical nuclear weapon escalate to a massive use of conventional weapons to the eventual use of strategic weapons, it's lose-lose for all of us.
Thank you, Professor. Last but not least, I want to know from your perspective. So what do you think is the next step for this war? And is there any mean that Ukraine can persuade Russia to negotiate with each other?
Ukraine doesn't want Russia to negotiate at the moment. Ukraine is moving forward. Ukraine wanted to negotiate when it was feeling under great threat. And that is normal in a conflict situation. When you're making advantage, when you're gaining, you don't want to negotiate. You negotiate when either you have a zero-sum situation where you're winning everything, or whether you're losing everything, or where you have a stalemate. At the moment, we don't have a stalemate. We have the Ukrainians now having a fully operating logistics system of modern weapons coming in from the West. We see that Russia is expanding its arsenal and is having trouble with its supply lines and with its logistical support. So Ukraine is probably thinking in terms of zero-sum situation at the moment, of gaining back its pre-2014 territorial integrity. For Russia, it will be a win if they can hold the territory in Donbass and the Crimea that they had before the 24th of February this year. I think there's a possibility of negotiation on those 24th of February lines, if it will stop the killing. So I'm hopeful that mediation will start soon on those lines, going back to the status quo of the 24th of February, 2022. But while Ukraine has its tail up, President Zelensky will not be rushing to move into mediation.
So thank you very much, Professor Desmond. Ladies and gentlemen, our interview today has now come to an end due to time constraint. And once again, I would like to pay my sincere appreciation to Professor Dr. Desmond Molloy for your valuable time and your kind contribution joining us today, providing a very profound discussion and a comprehensive view on the Russia possibility in using the tactical nuclear weapon in the war, current war with Ukraine.
Thank you, and you're very welcome.
So thank you for joining us, and I look forward to talking with you again on the future episode of our program. Please stay safe and have a nice day.